How does shame keep you locked in your struggle? You're listening to the Handing It to Jesus podcast. This is the podcast where we trade our deepest struggles to Jesus for peace. And my name is Craig Faust. Here with me is Matt Tilley. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Craig.
And I'm looking forward to actually talking about this. So we are in the building relationships section. So this is under the action step. And so this is right after the prayer, right after the theme study and the building relationships. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about last episode, why this is so important. We are in relationship with a relational God that works through people. And there appears to be something inherently important about that. And so when we're working on handing over our struggle, it is a prideful thing to think that we can do it on our own. And it's also an easy trap for us to get into, is that like, all right, I can't do it on my own, so I'm only going to do this in the quiet place where I'm praying to God, reading my Bible, and that's where I'm going to work on this struggle, which definitely has its place.
100%. Yeah, that we have to have that in order to to grow in our relationship with the Lord. I like what you said, Craig, that it is a place of pride, you believe, and I believe as well, to think or say, I can do this on my own.
Right.
Because God has constituted us in relationships. He made us to be in relationship with other people. The very first thing he said that wasn't good in creation was that man was alone. Right. And I think on a similar vein, it's to understand our shame in the context of relationships. It's the other side of the coin of pride, that I can't do this with somebody else. That's what shame might tell you, right? That nobody wants to be in the struggle with me. Nobody would love me in this struggle with myself if they actually knew all that I was thinking, all that I was feeling, all that I was doing. And I think the pride and the shame are very similar to one another, to think that you're either able to do all of it without people, or you're able to do none of it with people.
Right.
And they both lead to hurt relationships or a lack of relationships, which is going to limit you in your ability to grow and get closer to the Lord.
Right. Because at the end of the day, there are times where I'm really contending with my struggle. Matt and I were actually just talking about this a little bit before we started recording, that so right now as we're recording this, it is the new year, 2025, and we just had Christmas, and so I did the ever-faithful thing, and I checked my bank and credit card statements right after Christmas season, and me, as someone that has a lot of financial insecurity, I go into my freak-out mode whenever I see, like, where are the numbers, what's going on, how much do we owe, and different things like that. And the thing is, all of it's okay, but the part of me that has that scarcity mindset, the part of me that feels like I'm not providing enough, the part of me that feels like I am not enough, and that number that I'm seeing in my bank account is a reflection of that, it goes wild. And in those moments of struggle, what would be awesome is if my response every single time was to pause and pray to God about that struggle. And this is most certainly something that we want us to get better at during handing our struggle over. However, let's just say for argument's sake that I don't do that because I'm not perfect and I don't have a perfect memory and I can't always stop the, you know, the freak out train in my head. My wife could see me going to that place, and she may be able to interject, and she may be able to take me to prayer. She may be able to talk with me about it and help me convert to prayer or Bible study or just talking with her about it. So other people can have a profound effect on us when we may not be in a place where we can actually make that pivot when the struggle is really gripping us. And the thing is, I don't know about a lot of you, but I'm not naturally prone to do that because of the shame piece that we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. You still know truth, right? Like you've read through the Bible. You've done theme studies around this, I'm sure, before.
Yes.
But in that moment when the panic sets in or the fear, the anxiety, the shame is there, it is incredibly difficult without the aid of other people for us to, I like that word, pivot towards the truth and actually receive it and let it soak into your heart and your belief system, which is why we need other people to remind us of that truth, to speak it to us, to help us have a perspective or a line of sight that we're not quite looking at in that moment.
Yeah. So there are some people that can do this, right? So like the world is falling apart on them. Their house is on fire. So the struggle is there, right? And as their world is falling apart, they can be like, hey, you know what I need to do right now? I need to go read the Bible. And they could go do that. And then the Bible brings forth the water, puts out the fire, their life stabilizes, and things are okay in that moment, right? They go, they have an Eden moment right there with the Bible. Fantastic. That usually doesn't happen with me. Whenever I'm reading the Bible, usually I have to be in the mindset to be able to absorb what's going on. Some people, the very act of doing that actually puts them in that mindset, right? It can shift them. For some people, prayer can do that. For some people, it's others that help them do that. So what we're really talking about with this is allowing yourself the opportunity that if you're in a moment where this struggle is really beaten down on you, having another person in your corner that can help you shake you out of that mind space, to help you remind yourself what you need to be doing in those moments is crucial. And often what happens with us is we get this shame. So like shame, just to kind of like define it here for us, shame is this relational move that we make that causes us to withdraw from other people. Now, it may not be
to isolate, to hide.
It may not be something that, right, like so if I'm talking to Matt right now, maybe I'm withdrawing, but I'm still having a conversation with him, but I'm emotionally withdrawing, right? So there's a part of me that has exited.
Yeah.
And this happens all the time, right? If I'm talking to the cashier at the grocery store, you know, but my mind's on 100 other things, I'm going on autopilot. So like I'm not entirely there.
Right. But you I can be present without being present.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, and that's the, you know, that grocery store example may not necessarily be shame that's activated, but shame is that move where we are hiding a piece of ourselves because there is a huge risk of being hurt. And I say huge because even if logically it doesn't seem like a huge piece, emotionally the risk does feel big, right? Or else we wouldn't make that move. So it is a relational move that we make where we are hiding a part of ourselves to make sure that we don't get hurt.
And often this can too take place in the relationship that you have with yourself, right? So I think we most often first experience shame in relationship, and then throughout the rest of our lives also, we have confirmations of that in future relationships where we say, see, this is true. And there's many moments when we're by ourselves that we'll still ruminate on that shame, believe that shame is true for ourselves, and it'll keep us perhaps from actually being physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally present with somebody where we may struggle to get out of bed. Shame may look like depression for some. Shame may look like anxiety for others. Where it pushes you, you have to prove that your shame is not real. And so your anxiety shows up and it pushes you to actually go act and work overtime and achieve through your merit to prove that this is not true. This is not who I am. And so maybe you become a workaholic to prove, yeah, I'm not lazy. I do have what it takes. I am capable. I am strong and make a lot of money to prove I can be wealthy. I can provide. Whenever your shame is telling you, hey, you're worthless, you can't do anything, you're not good enough. And so shame can take on a form of many different things in your life, but at the root, it's almost always the same. It is speaking some identity statement to yourself. I am fill in the blank, not loved. I am not good enough. I am worthless. I suck. I am stupid. I am lazy. I am greedy.
I am not lovable.
I'm not lovable. Yeah. Any or all of those, some mixture. Like, you have your own shame statement. And I'm sure that if you think about it for a little bit, you can come up with one. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this in some previous episodes as well, early on in the workbook. But it shows up relationally. And this is the danger of shame, is that those beliefs about yourself that you've learned in past relationships and that you continue to reaffirm in your life and in the way your struggle speaks to you as well, mm-hmm. is the thing that will keep you out of these relationships that we are challenging you to engage in right now.
Right.
And it is dangerous.
Yeah. So this is, in my opinion, out of this action step, I think this is the hardest one.
I believe so, too.
I can do the theme study on my own, or you can do it with other people. But, you know, you can do a theme study on your own. You can pray on your own and just, like, work on that relationship with God. But other people, they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. Even friends can be. It's dangerous because the struggle, at the heart of it, it is a failing. It's a vulnerability. It's an issue that we're having. It's a fault, right? Yeah. It's not something that you're posting on your Instagram reels, nope. or anything like that, right? It's not something that's that you're normally showing to the world. So when we're talking about building these relationships, shame keeps us from showing what's really going on at the heart of us.
Yeah.
So if we can show that, right? So typically this is what's called vulnerability, right? If you can show your heart to someone and show what's actually going on with you, show the struggle, mm-hmm. right? And its rawness. Mm-hmm. And that other person, through care and love, can be there for you, mm-hmm. can give you a different message than what you're giving yourself, mm-hmm. right? What the shame's telling you. And you, you know, in that space can expose yourself to that. That's healing.
Yeah.
Right? That's healing.
Yeah.
So we want to leverage these relationships. And like we talked a little bit about last episode, we want to do this very purposely. And, you know, whenever we're forming these relationships, we want to let them, the other person, know the struggle we're going through. We want to be, make sure that we're asking them. We also want to be mindful of who we're choosing with this. Right? So, you know, one of the things that we have in the workbook, and I think we may have talked a little bit about it last session too, and mm-hmm. I just want to hit it again because I think it's important. Your spouse may not be the best person for this struggle, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
Right? So like if your struggle is lust, perhaps talking to your spouse about all the times your eyes were following other people, mm-hmm. or all the times you had a desire to look at porn, or all the mm-hmm. times that you may have masturbated, may not be the best move.
Sure.
Right?
It's good for our spouse to be aware of our struggle, mm-hmm. But to share every single moment with them, I think it becomes very difficult sometimes for a spouse, whether it's lust or something else too, to sometimes not make it about the marriage or the relationship.
Yeah.
Not hear it in the context of, do you not love me? Am I not enough for you?
Yeah.
And it's harder for them to be, in some moments, a great listener.
Yeah, or more compassionate. They may uh-huh. have their own things going on or whatever it right. may be. Or you guys have other struggles that have already created a charge, so whenever this is brought in. So sometimes your spouse isn't sometimes, the best person. Right.
That's because spouses often, the relationship is about each other. You know, mm-hmm. you're looking face-to-face at one another, but in friendships, you're standing shoulder-to-shoulder with the same goal or vision or mm-hmm. interest. And so the friendship is not always face-to-face. It's not always about the relationship, right. talking about the relationship. So in a friendship, it can be easier to share some of our shame and our struggle. And that friend is not going to say, does this mean that we're not friends anymore? Do you not love me? Are we not okay? Because they're going to be able to more clearly and definitively just look at that struggle with you. Because that is the nature of friendship, where you're both right. looking at the same thing together. And it's more about what you're looking at and less about looking at each other.
Yes. And I think you're right. Or I know you're right. Your spouse should know about the struggle you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Again, that doesn't mean that they're the best person to talk with or work through that. And most certainly you could use a professional like Matt and I are counselors, of course, or like some type of, you know, pastor or something like that would be a good idea as well. But friends, one of the, you know, we want it to be a believer, right? Because we want them to help steer you towards God.
Yeah, towards biblical truth.
But we also want them to be able to hold you in loving accountability whenever you're not, right? To be able to turn you back to God, but to also be able to hold the stance, hold the structure for you that whatever consequences that are going on or whatever results occur because of your struggle is not okay,
mm-hmm.
right? So they are in a state of encouraging you to do something about that struggle, and they can acknowledge it, and they could tell you about how difficult it is and different things like that, but not that, hey, you have forever to take care of this. They're like, it's okay to put this on the back burners for now, right? So we're wanting a friend that's wanting to lean into the struggle, not...
Who won't give leniency,
yep.
and also who won't shame you. And that's a hard person to find. I mean, you might be resistant to this part of the process because maybe you're wondering, like, well, how can I even find a person who's not going to disregard it and say, oh, there's grace for that, or who's not going to shame me and say, that's not what the Bible says to do. You're a wicked, horrible person. You have to repent right now and just stop it. Stop it. That's going to be painful to experience on both ends, right?
And that's where the beginning conversation, you tell someone about your struggle that you need someone to be able to talk to, ask if they can be that person.
Exactly.
And ask if they can check in about it. Ask if you guys can try to start some type of regular meetings. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't necessarily have to be any certain structure, but we want to make sure that there is some consistency in it. Where, because I don't know about you, but I deal with my struggle every day. Does that mean that I need to talk with my friend every day? Yeah, maybe sometimes, right? Whenever people go through Alcoholics Anonymous or different things, they have a sponsor. It's an everyday thing, you know, until they get some, you know, they get some time under their belt or some success there. And you need to be thinking about this in that same context.
This struggle
is something that we need to lean on those relationships with. And again, just reiterating something last session, it's probably good that it's, if it's a friend that's same sex as you. At the end of the day, male and females have different roles. They do. There's a biblical basis for this. That doesn't mean that there isn't some overlap. It doesn't mean that there isn't some ability for empathy or acknowledgement. There most certainly is. And if you do not have access to the same-sex friends, that's okay. That's the preference that we would have.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
We just believe it is much wiser.
Yeah, it is much wiser. At the end of the day, sharing vulnerability with someone that is of a different sex can and will at times, depending on how vulnerable you get, ignite the bonding system, the attachment system that is natural inside us. And that can lead to real issues, right?
Yes.
If you have a...
Or insecurity if you are actually in a relationship already.
Yeah,
with somebody of the different sex.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whenever vulnerability enters the room and someone sees your heart, there is an attractive force there. Whether or not you're male or female, the attractive force there is that when you see someone's heart, there is a drawing in towards that often from another person. And if it's from the opposite sex, it can turn into a drawing in sexually. So we want to just be really mindful of that. So it's better in that. Now, some of you, again, you may not have access to different sex friends for whatever reason, or like all the friends that you have are of differing sex. That's okay. You just need to be aware of that aspect. So if you do, you know that you're going to be talking about this and vulnerability is going to be entering, you have to plan for it.
Yep.
You have to be ready that, hey, if this happens, I have an exit strategy. Or I can be like, hey, I feel like we're talking about this and we're making some good headway. And I'm worried about the space that we're in right now. or I'm just feeling like I'm getting, like my heart's getting a little bit too engaged with this and I need to take it a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself that space. Allow yourself to recognize that. It is not good for us to lead someone else to sin. Right? So it is irresponsible for us if we feel that attachment system come online and we feel that attraction happening. It is irresponsible for us not to intervene in some way to be able to protect yourself and protect this other person.
Yeah.
So usually it's just easier for us just to avoid it altogether. But again, if you're not able to, then just go in with kind of like those warning bells, you know, in your mind and ready. But at the end of the day, the whole reason that we're having this conversation here is this is a confrontation of that shame element and the avoidance and the hiding piece of this.
Right.
We're building the relationship so that we continue to practice, right? We want to practice this with God in prayer, as we talked about in the prayer section, and we want to practice this with the Word of God, as in looking for those theme studies to address this, and we practice with other people to showing that vulnerability, showing our heart, to like exposing ourselves to those different messages.
Absolutely.
Because you can read the Bible, and the Bible talks to you, but the Bible can't give you a hug.
Nope.
Right? But another person can.
Yeah.
So we're just opening ourselves up to the different messages that God has made us to be able to receive.
Yes. And we have language all throughout Scripture that continues to paint the picture of how we need to lean into the relationships. Mm-hmm. It is what an aspect of how God has designed us. First with Him, and then with other people. It will strengthen your marriage if you are married, because it will give confidence to your spouse, right, that I know he or she is working on this, that they are being vulnerable, and I can trust that I don't constantly have to fear and worry or check in or ask the question. Like, I know that progress is being made. And it gives strength to your walk with the Lord, because you get to experience more of who God is, as you see God show up in other people's lives, as you begin being vulnerable with other people, and perhaps more vulnerable than you've ever been in your life. I think vulnerability begets more vulnerability. And right. What you will eventually see is that you are given an invitation for others to be vulnerable with you as well. And maybe this, you know, you're cautious to jump into building relationships because you're not quite sure if you're in a place where you can carry somebody else's burden alongside of your own. But I guarantee you that the moment that it starts to happen, it will do something powerful for you.
Right.
To be able to carry somebody else's burden alongside of allowing somebody else to carry yours.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to give something back to us as well.
This is something that's such a big deal. It's like I'm a specialist in marriage counseling, and it is so interesting how many times I see it. And like I get to see it because of my job, right? I can think it's a near 100%. It's not 100% because sometimes a couple still, you know, in their dysfunction or in their you know downward cycle of their interactions that they get into. But often what happens is whenever vulnerability is shared, there is this fear that they are putting more on their spouse, right? The burden word that you use, right? Like I'm putting a burden on them by letting them know what's actually going on. And almost 100% of the time, right? And so like the time where it's not 100% is almost always because of how it was communicated was in a jabby way. By the person, right? So that's pretty normal. It's a protective move. Sometimes when we get into shame, right, that's one of the things that we do is we get prickly, the other person. But when we show our burden to somebody else, it's not like they pick it up and like now they got to carry this.
All on their own.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, I'm a counselor. I hear people talk about their burdens and their issues all the time. That isn't throwing stuff in my backpack. Now, whenever I was a younger counselor, it was because I thought that I had to resolve those things.
Right.
But the thing is, you don't have to resolve the burdens that somebody's going through. You don't have to resolve the struggles, just like they don't have to resolve your struggle.
Correct.
You're talking with them about it because as you're talking with them about it and they're giving you different responses, than you give yourself or what the world gives you. Mm-hmm. As that relationship, that's the power of the relationship. They're not picking up your burden and you're feeling lighter because of it. What they're doing is, since they know what's going on and they can authentically show to you what's actually happening and the care or love that they have for you, then the burden that you feel is lessened, not because the problem's any better, but because you're getting a clear message that somebody cares for you despite the struggle you're going through, despite the burden that you're feeling.
Yeah.
And that is a release. It's a relief. Yeah. Right. And often what happens in couples is a magical thing where the other person has been stressed because they know something's going on, and then now you're telling them and like, okay, now they know, right? Mm-hmm. They have a category. They have an understanding. So it actually feels better for them.
Yeah, because there's clarity, and clarity is like a light that shines on the darkness of fear, right? And they're not living in that place of worry or anxiety for what is going on. Now they know. Yeah. Clarity is always helpful.
Well, and for our friends, they want to do something. Right, I can't think of any friend that I've ever had that I've wanted them to suffer. Right, so if they talk, they're probably not a friend then. and that's sinful. We shouldn't want other people to suffer. Suffering already happens. We don't got to make life harder for people than it already is. Mm-hmm. So, but when my friends tell me that they're suffering, I could see it in their eyes. Mm-hmm. They're showing. There's that vulnerability comes online.
Yeah.
I want to do something there, right? And you know, what I've learned is the thing that I want to do is not solve their problem. I can't solve their problem. I can't solve my own problems, right? So I don't want to solve their problem. But one, I do want to demonstrate that I care about what's going on. Right? Yes. I just want to be able to be there, be present. Right? I'm there with the moment. I'm not there to cut it with a joke or here to change a subject or anything like that. I want to show I can be there in that struggle. And I can be there in that struggle because I've been used to it. Mm-hmm. But if someone explicitly lets me know that they're going to talk to me about something difficult, right, then okay, like this isn't a joke, right? So I can show up there. I could be that. That's why in the building relationships we talk about being explicit about talking about your struggle and kind of gaining that permission that like it is okay to talk with this person, this friend about this. But I get the opportunity then when I hear about the struggle to pray with them. I could pray with them right now in that moment.
Yep.
And that's something I can do. And if they're like, hey, like we can't pray or we didn't have time for it or whatever's going on, right? It was just a passerby conversation. Mm-hmm. I could pray for them right after that. Yep. I could pray for them before I go to bed at night. I could pray for them when I wake up in the morning. Whatever it may be, I can actually do something about it. So as for friends hearing about this, it's not like we're taking a suitcase full of bowling balls and giving it to them.
Mm-mm.
Right. Nope. Usually what it is like they can see this and it activates something in us that empathy. Often, that empathy, it gives them relief because they can know you a little more. But often it activates this energy, this desire to do something.
Yeah, of course. And I love what you've said there, Craig, that you're not putting on somebody else's shoulders this responsibility to solve or resolve your problem. And I think that's often our fear of maybe what also keeps us out of relationship is I want to be putting so much weight on somebody else that they're going to feel like they have to fix me.
Yeah.
And I think early in my life, I felt that responsibility as well until I actually had more experience in relationships and realized that I don't have that power. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not to fix
somebody.
Or they
might not even be looking for that.
Expecting it of us, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think really anybody is expecting me to fix them. You know, often even in the counseling room, as people are really struggling as they come into me, in first session, immediately what I think I try to do is lower people's expectations of me because I can't fix or solve or heal or save anybody.
Yeah.
I am limited in my ability, limited in my power. I'm not that powerful. Only Jesus saves. And the same is true for you. The same is true for your friends that you're thinking about. They are limited in their power and their responsibility. Really, the only things as believers that we are called to do, that is our job as believers, is to love people well, to speak godly truth to them, and to pray for them. It is God's job to convict people of their sin. It is God's job to save them from their sins and to heal them. And anytime that we think that it is our responsibility to do any of those roles that God has in our hearts, we do wind up hurting people. And right. we also wind up hurting ourselves, because then we feel crushed that I can't actually convict people. I can't actually yeah. save people. It There's didn't no work. Way.
Like, it, right, yeah. we are taking, in those moments, right, we're taking God, you know, we're taking our own wisdom and we're trying to use that to resolve a situation instead mm-hmm. of God's wisdom.
Exactly.
Right. God is the source of all wisdom.
So if your friend knows their role, they're not going to be a person who thinks that they have to take on all this responsibility to heal and fix you.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's say you're listening to this and you're like, Craig, Matt, I have some fantastic friends. I even had some friends that I listed that I want to have a closer relationship. I'm not sure that they're not going to try to solve the struggle. Okay, if you know that, plan for it. Do something about it. Mm-hmm. When you're talking with them about it, let them know, hey, I don't need you to solve this. Like, right. I just need you to be able to listen. And right. also, like, let me know I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Right. I was talking to my brother the other day while he was over at my house, and I was talking to him about this financial, you know, thing, looking at the credit cards, looking at the bank statements and everything, just as I was talking to you guys about. And my brother could have turned to me and he could have been like, hey, you know what, Craig? Do you need some money? And that will resolve this, right? If I give you a couple $1,000s, then, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, all this will be resolved, right? And we can kind of move on with our day. Uh-huh. But the thing is, let's say that I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And I take the couple $1,000s and, you know, everything's fine. That wouldn't have resolved the heart of the issue.
Correct.
The heart of the issue there, the struggle, just as we kind of talked about when we're breaking down the problem, the struggle that we're going through in the earlier steps, is that I feel like I'm not enough there.
Yeah.
So whenever, if my brother was to pivot to trying to solve that issue, I'm just getting that message from him too, inadvertently. His best intention would have not converted to, I am enough.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what my brother did was he listened, he validated, and mm-hmm. he actually let me know that he has that experience too. Mm-hmm. So then I'm sitting here like, I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. And it opened me up to be able to be like, and you know what? I'm kind of really unreasonable around this. I know what I do. Mm-hmm. And I know the mindset that I get into. My mm-hmm. brother's like, hey, yeah, you know what? I actually get into that mindset too sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then we started talking about, hey, like, do you think we got that mindset from the way that we grew up or different things like that? And so like we're able to have opened this moment
yeah. mm-hmm.
that we could start to share these different things, and we didn't try to solve each other's issue. So there are times where people don't really know how to make those moves, right? And you may have really logical friends, and that's okay. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. They're made in God's image too, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we may have to explicitly let them know, right?
Here's what I need.
Yeah, my wife had to do this all the time. Yeah. Like, Craig, shut up. I don't need you to resolve this issue at work. I just need you to listen. And then, you know, after time of listening, you know, you like notice a pattern. You're like, man, things are crazy are going on. This is tough that you got to deal with this all the time. She's like, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay. So that moment of her letting me know what she needed reduced the expectations that I had of how I was supposed to help. And then I knew how I was supposed to help. Right. And I could see that I was helping and that I was doing something different. So you can give your friend the benefit of that too. When you ask mm-hmm. them about the struggle, it's like, hey, whenever I talk to you about this struggle, I just need you to point me to God. Or I need you to help me find places in scripture. I just need you to pray with me. I just need you to listen. I just need to complain about this for a second. And then maybe we can kind of pivot to talking a little more about that. Or, hey, you know what? I love how insightful questions you have. So I want to talk to you about what's going on. And can you just ask me questions about it? Mm-hmm. Right. So give yourself that opportunity. If you don't even know what that looks like, it's okay. Experiment a little bit with it. Let the person know, hey, mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about this struggle, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not used to doing this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is really deeply shameful for me to talk about this. I feel terrible that I have this struggle. And, like, it is really hard. If a person knows that, it gives them the opportunity to respond in kind. Right. So you're being as open as you can. You're practicing that in the form of the relationship. And with the responsiveness of having someone that you're talking to, the responsiveness of God when you're praying is different. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's often where you might not pray and you might not get a response. You may not get a feeling. You may not hear God or right. You may not get a Bible verse in your head or like however that may show up for you. Mm-hmm. You may get silence. You may just right. feel that God's there. Right. But in those moments, that's beautiful because that relationship with God is different than people. Right. So, yes. So you're practicing a different muscle there. We got the prayer, got the theme studies, and we got the building relationships so we can get that different type of responsiveness so you can experience God in the middle of that relationship in a different way yeah. that you don't necessarily experience all the time in prayer.
Or those studies, right? Mm-hmm. We could say a lot more about this. I think we could talk about relationships all day long, but I want to honor your guys' time, whatever you have going on. And I want to pick this up next conversation as well. We know that this is a struggle and will be a struggle, maybe one of the harder parts. I think we've said that about every part, but I really believe that this is mm-hmm. one of the hardest parts. Maybe you've been vulnerable before and it's not a hard thing for you to be vulnerable. If that's the case, I would challenge you to go a step further and say, be more vulnerable then. Because mm-hmm. I've thought the same thing about myself. Like with the friends that I have who are closest to me, I've loved being vulnerable. It feels like it's easy for me to be vulnerable. But at a certain point, maybe I want to get challenged or ask the kind of questions that I actually needed asked of me because people saw that I kind of met a vulnerability quota, so to speak. And I always mm-hmm. found that I could hide behind a base level of vulnerability. But what I actually needed to go was to go a step further and share more. To be mm-hmm. even more specific. And maybe that's you as well. And so in that case, I still think building relationships, being vulnerable, naming the shame, naming the struggle, really is one of the hardest parts to involve somebody else in our pain. And we want to continue to talk about that as we go along talking on future points and conversations in this workbook. But we love you guys. We look forward to talking with you in our next podcast. But until then, we hope you have a good week. Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so like usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.